Boker Tov, Shalom Lechem. Good. We move on to lesson number 7, and we begin with an introduction to that. Okay, we start with the introduction to lesson 7 on page 73, and that begins by saying review lesson 3. I don't know if any of you did that during the last few days and went back and looked in lesson 3. Two of the important things we learned in lesson 3. We learned about nouns, and we learned about suffixes for prepositions. So nouns, we saw on page 28 there, page 28, section 5, the right-hand column, we had a hadavar, the word, but then if you join that noun to a following noun or something, then, so that it becomes words of, you shorten up the first vowel, so it becomes devar. Hadavarim, the words, and then you can make the words of, you shorten that to devrei, which would then be followed immediately by another vowel, by another noun. And we're going to learn more formally about that today. We also learned in Lesson 3 about the suffixes that get added on to a preposition. So in this case, lamed. So we had li, meaning to me, so the preposition l, and a suffix, pronoun suffix, e, running all the way through to lahen, to them, feminine plural. And there are these suffixes for first, second, third person, masculine, and in second and third person for masculine and feminine, and then singular and plural. Then we learnt this distinction between davar, meaning a word, devar, word of, devarim, words, and then devrei, words of, where they're followed by another noun. And other examples we have here, we have isha, meaning a wife or a woman, and then eshet. Eshet is the form you use if you're joining that to another noun. The wife of, or the woman of something. Anashim means men, and anashay is men of when you join it to another word. Eved, servant, and that remains the same when you join it to another word, meaning servant of. And berakot means blessings, and that stays almost the same, birkot. Birkot for blessings of. So the forms of the nouns, like those in the bet column, which usually needed an added of when translated in English, are called construct. And the words in the aleph column are called an absolute noun. So each bet word is a construct noun, each aleph is a absolute noun. And then personal endings can be added to the ends of the noun, and you'd add them to the end of the construct form. So we'd have devarcha, your word, divrehem, their words, abdo, his servant, and so on. And here's where it helps to know the personal pronoun endings. Okay, so then the rest of that section deals with the introduction to lesson 8. So now we can move on to page 76 and embark on lesson 7 itself. Lesson 7. Sheva. That's the number 7. And this is titled Absolute and Construct Nouns. And this is important to learn because from now on we'll talk a lot about construct nouns and you'll see these all over the place. So, section 1, we have the basic noun, masculine noun, singular form, davar. Davar meaning word, and that's its absolute form. And then devar, meaning word of, is its construct form. So, in devar, word of, the first vowel has been shortened from a long A to a short shva, devar. So davar, davar. More important, actually, than being able to recognize the difference in the sound is being able to recognize it when you read it. And actually, just to be able to understand what's going on when you read it. So we're just beginning to learn about construct nouns, which is what your question was about on Sunday. Okay, so we're on page 76, just in section 1. So the absolute form of the noun for a masculine singular noun is davar, word. And then if you are putting it in construct, so in a chain with another noun, so that it means word of something, you'd shorten up the first syllable, davar, which sort of happens naturally. It's a little similar to making a word, an additional syllable long, or two syllables, and you just naturally shorten up the early syllables. Okay, so the absolute form and the construct form. So, in Devar HaNavi, the word of the prophet, or what the prophet, which essentially means what the prophet said, Navi is absolute, and Devar is construct. And so we'd usually translate that, it's the word, well, what sort of word? It's the word having something to do with the Navi, the prophet. And the two of those then go together as a little, what we call a chain, construct chain. So now we have a list of some common words in their absolute form and their construct form. Davar, davar, word, and in construct form, davar, davar. So you see that first syllable has shortened. In the plural, it's davarim, the absolute plural, davarim. And the construct form is divrei, divrei, meaning words of. Elohim, Elohim, and its construct form is Elohe, Elohe. Now, Elohim, usually referring to God, it functions as a singular noun, takes a singular verb, even though it has a plural form, and it has a standard plural construct form. Ish. Ish, meaning man, and its construct form remains the same. Isha, Isha, woman, and the construct form of that is Eshet, Eshet. And what we're going to find is that often for feminine singular nouns, the construct form will end in a tav. That's usual. Hevel, Hevel, meaning breath. This is a puff of wind. This is vanity, a word that's translated vanity in Ecclesiastes. It's also the name of Abel, Genesis chapter 4. And its construct is havel, havel, breath of. Next pair of columns, we have bane. Bane is sun, and construct form, it the long E shortens to a short E. In the plural, banim. Banim, sons, and b'nei, b'nei, construct form, sons of. Then malka, malka, feminine singular noun, and its construct form is malkat, malkat. So the usual way for a feminine singular noun, usually change the final he to a tav. Anashim. Anashim, meaning men, and construct form anashay, anashay. For women, it's nashim, nashim, and nashay, nashay. Now, that word is unusual because although it is feminine, it actually has a masculine form, both in the absolute and in the construct form. And then finally, chayil and chayil. Chayil and chayil, absolute and construct, meaning power or virtue or strength. So construct nouns are used with absolute nouns for various purposes. The most common one is to express a relationship or any kind of belonging to a person or place. So for example, Malkat Shiva, Malkat Shiva, the Queen of Sheba. So the word for queen is Malka, on its own, that's its absolute form, but if you then want to add it on, make a chain of nouns, and specify more about the queen, you would change it to a construct, the construct form Malkat. Mm-hmm. Malkatshva.
Is the implied
word? In that case, the would be implied, yes. Mm-hmm. It would be implicit in the, yeah. Mm-hmm. Eshet Uriah. Eshet Uriah, the wife of Uriah. So we've taken Isha and put it in the construct form to join it to the next noun to specify more about that particular Isha, the wife of Uriah. The next one is very common phrase, B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael. So the absolute form of sons or children would be Banim. Construct form would be B'nai Yisrael. Next column, and next column over, Ish Elohim, Ish Elohim, man of God. Now, Ish there, it doesn't change its form to go from absolute to construct. And if we wanted to make that one definite to talk about the man of God, it would be Ish Ha Elohim, Ish Ha Elohim, where we add the article onto the second word, onto the absolute word, not onto the construct word. Now, in the case of Malkat Shva, that is implicitly definite because it's assumed there's only one queen of Sheba. Likewise, the wife of Uriah, it's assumed as we're talking of only one wife of Uriah, and the sons of Israel, likewise, are taken to be all the sons of Israel. So it's, those are implicitly definite. And then finally, Divrei Habein, Divrei Habein. The words of the son. Again, we put the article. We're wanting to make the words definite, but we put the article not on the divrei, but on the bain. And then we can build up longer construct chains. Two constructs may occur together before a noun or pronoun. So, anshe b'nei adonechem. Anshe b'nei adonechem. So in that, both the anshe and the b'nei are in construct form. So the men of the sons of your master, which she then says in parentheses, your master's sons. Oh, okay, the men of your master's sons. That's what he's meaning there. Neshe ami. Neshe ami. There's actually two nouns in construct there. The neshe. It's a construct form of nashim, women. So that's the plural of isha. And then the ami is in construct form. It's am plus a pronoun suffix referring to the women of the people of me. Now, it might be a little hard to recognize that ami is actually construct form plus a suffix ending. But anytime you add anything onto it, what you're adding onto is to the construct form. And then Yad Eloheinu Hatova. Yad Eloheinu Hatova. The hand of our God, the good one. So Yad there is in construct form. Now, in its case, it looks identical in absolute or construct form. We know it's a construct form because it's joined to the next word. It's going with a following noun. And then Eloheinu. Elohe is construct with the pronoun suffix enu, meaning our or us. Hatova. Hatova. And that is feminine because Yad is feminine. And we're wanting to make this definite. So the thing that is definite is the hand, but the article goes on the, in this case, the last the last word, the adjective. Well, it will vary. So if it's just a single absolute noun, we saw that sometimes you have to put the article on both the noun and the adjective. So ha'ish, ha'tov, the good man, Although then you could change things by putting ish hatov or hatov ish and so on.
How do you know that the yod is feminine?
In this case, you can't tell morphologically. You'd just have to learn that.
If I'm having a hard time, I have to learn all the absolutes before I can.
Well, there are two ways of looking at this. Either you can sit down and try and learn them all. That's not the best way to do it. The best way, what you really need to be able to do is to learn to recognize that that's what you have. And the general pattern is, I'm jumping ahead just a little bit here, masculine singular, it's not as difficult as it all seems. Our English words don't behave this way, so what you're struggling with at the moment is sort of getting around a new way of thinking. But with a couple of basic principles, you'll be fine, and you'll reasonably quickly learn to recognize this. Now, you won't know all the fine points of what exactly form the construct will take, but you don't need to know that, really. You just need to be able to recognize that that's what this is. So typically what you find for a masculine singular, the construct form doesn't really change very much. There might be there's a little shortening of a vowel, so like from davar to devar. But otherwise it's not going to change a whole lot. The masculine plural, the absolute ending will be im. Right? You've learned that generally. So im. And the standard construct ending is a. So the im changes to a. The masculine singular tends to remain, at least the consonants remain unchanged. There might be a shortening of a vowel. Feminine singular, typically ends in a. Comments hey. And it is going to change to a tav in some form. Usually with an at, but the vowel might change. But it's going to change to a tav in most cases. And then the plural, feminine plural, usually will end in ot, and that remains unchanged. So red here is construct, and blue is absolute. So generally, the masculine singular and the feminine plural don't change. The masculine plural and the feminine singular do change. And in 95% of the times, masculine plural is going to... Well, actually, no, I probably would say 99% of the time. Masculine plural is going to change from im to a. And in most of the times, feminine singular is going to change from a to... And as long as you remember that, you're fine. So that then, when you see a form like this, and you go, now wait a minute, I thought that the plural masculine noun was ended in im, and you see there a, you realize, oh, that's right, that's because it's joined, there's another noun coming after it, and it's joined to that. And after we've read our sentences later in this lesson, I think by next week you'll be just fine with this. Now, you won't be able to say, well, exactly what happens to the vowels and exactly what form, if there's a change in vowel, what form that's going to be. But I don't care. I don't think Dobson cares. And you're never going to have to write this. You're just going to have to recognize these enough to be able to read them and understand them. Okay? Okay, so that's the first most common use of the construct, is to express relationship, any kind of belonging, to a person or place. Section B, another main use of this, is to describe the nature of something. And in English, we might use an adjective. And this too, it all comes under the general category, you're wanting to specify that noun further. So those of you who've learned other languages, this might be how a genitive functions, where that's really the role of a genitive, is to give further expression, further specificity about that noun. So we have Shevet Barzel. Shevet Barzel, a scepter of iron. So Shevet is the noun we're talking about, but it's then put in construct form because we're going to say something more about it. What sort of a shiva is it? It's a one of Barzel, of iron. And usually in English we would then, it just makes sense for us to translate that as an adjective. The Barzel is an iron. And would consider it a little pedantic if you translated it as a scepter of iron rather than iron scepter. Anshe Kodesh. Anshe Kodesh. So men, Anshe there. So you'd recognize that A ending. And that's construct, plural, masculine plural construct, and then joined to another noun, kodesh, of holiness. And we'd again translate that with an adjective, holy men. Now, we're also helped in that case by that raised hyphen, which we'll learn about in the next page or so, that makes it really clear that that's going together as a pair. And that raised hyphen is completely optional. As we see in the next example, Anshe Hamilchama, Anshe Hamilchama. So Milchama is war. Here with the article on the front of it, the men of war, these are fighting men or warriors. Eshet Chayil, Eshet Chayil, a woman of Chayil, so the feminine, the absolute form of the first noun would be Isha. We're wanting to say something more about the Isha, so we put that into construct, Eshet. And what we're wanting to say about this Eshet is that she has Chayil. Now, which becomes very difficult to translate. You can translate it as a woman of power. Well, except the places where we get this is the woman of valor of Proverbs 31 is this, and also Ruth chapter 3 is described as an Eshet Chayil. But she has no power and no riches at all, so you'd have to translate there woman of stature, standing, or something like that. And then Ben Mavet Ha'ish. Ben Mavet Ha'ish. Here, Ben Mavet is the Ha'ish, so the man is a Ben Mavet. Ben there is in construct form, and this is a very common sort of expression in Hebrew. To describe somebody as being a Ben such and such means that that's what characterizes you. So in this case, that death characterizes this person. And this carries over into modern expressions. So bar mitzvah, that a Jewish boy goes through at the age of 13. Bar there is the Aramaic equivalent of ben, means that he becomes a son of the commandment. Mitzvah is commandment. So if we translated that back into full Hebrew, it would be ben mitzvah. So basically what he's doing at that age, at the age of 13, when he goes through bar mitzvah, nowadays, the 13-year-old won't really understand this. For him, it's a big party, and he just has to read a biblical text properly. But he is taking on the commandments. He's becoming fully responsible as an adult now for keeping the commandments, all 613 of them. And then the female equivalent now is the bat mitzvah. So bat, their daughter, so the woman, the girl, 13, becoming a daughter of the commandment.
Why did they not change to calling it with the Hebrew name?
I assume because the ceremony goes back so long ago, back to when Hebrew was used only for reading scripture, and it goes back to when Aramaic was their everyday language rather than Hebrew. And then the bat mitzvah, that arose after Hebrew got revived as a living language in the 1880s. So. But we see this expression, so we've already seen it, the B'nai Israel, the sons of Israel, in a sense, so all of Israel. We see it in English expressions that we have in the New Testament, the sons of light, the sons of darkness, the sons of this, the sons of that. It's a very, very common way of expressing something. To say somebody is, say, 20 years old, he will say that they are the son of 20 years. And you know, we wouldn't translate that way. We'd recognize this to say the son of, it means that you are characterized by 20 years. And then a third category for these construct is with repetition of the same noun for emphasis. So Shemei HaShamayim. Shemei HaShamayim. So the absolute noun is Shamayim. Its construct form is Shemei, since it's plural. Heaven of heavens, or the heaven of heavens, i.e. the highest heaven. Havel Havalim. Havel Havalim, futility of futilities, or breath of breath, or this is what the preacher says in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities. Oh, it's vanities. The expression you're probably the most familiar with is in English, the Holy of Holies. So the most holy, which now the NIV translates as the most holy place, but NAS would translate as Holy of Holies. So Kadosh Kadoshim. So the most holy place of the tabernacle uses this form.
So Havel is...
Well, Hevel, we saw over on the previous page, Hevel is means breath. It's at the bottom of the left-hand column, halfway down the page. Hevel is breath. So it's sort of a puff of little puff of wind that just sort of gets blown away. And in Ecclesiastes, it's used in the sense of, he's saying this is what life is like. It's just a puff of wind and you're gone. And that's really sort of how it's being used in Genesis 4. Abel, in the story of Cain and Abel, Abel's name, that's what it means. He's a puff of wind and it's just, that's what seems to have happened to him. He's the righteous man and yet he's just been, and he's gone, blown away. Deeply significant that that's the name that he has there. And then you're left wondering, well, is life meaningless? What will God do about when the strong flourish, the ungodly flourish, and the righteous are blown away like a puff of wind? And that is already a tension by Genesis 4.
This is Havel, and you're saying evil, and Havel are the same?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Havel and Havel. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we get in section 2 a summary of what the various forms look like. And you'll see that basically they followed this pattern that I laid out here. So an old man, under section A, old man is zakein. Zakein, this is masculine singular. And then for the construct form, the vowels shorten up to zakan, zakan. And in this case, both vowels have shortened. So the first one, the kumets, under the zayin, has shortened to a shva, and then the tsere, under the kof, has shortened to a patak, from a long e to a short a. Now, you don't have to remember that that's how the vowels shorten. You just have to remember that often somehow the vowels will shorten. And that's quite sufficient for.
So if you remember it absolute, and if you see some changes, then you know that's.
Yeah, yeah. That you'll know that's what's happened. It is in a construct, and you'll also be helped by the fact that it's followed then by another noun, or will have, which could then take the form of a suffix on the end of it. Okay. Then in the plural is zakenim, zakenim. And the construct of that is ziknei, and there's been a changing of vowels there, but the important, which again, you don't have to remember that, just be able to recognize, oh yeah, something happens with the vowels. But the thing you do need to learn is that A ending, we've gone from im to A, going from absolute to construct. Next example, kokav. Kokav, meaning star. And its construct form is very similar. The only change is a shortening of the vowel from long A to a short A, kokav. And Jim, you're not going to be able to recognize, distinguish the sound of that. I mean, and certainly we as non-native speakers don't pay a whole lot of attention to long and short. I'm certainly not very consistent in my ability to distinguish long and short vowels and so on. But, yeah. So, and then in the plural, kokavim goes to kokave. Kokavim, kokave, so what we would expect. Yad? Yad is hand, and it shortens up slightly in the construct, yad. In the plural, yadim and yaday. Yadim, yaday. That too has shortened, the kamet's shortened to a shva. And finally, av. Av is ancestor. Now he's put there a v. That's actually the construct form plus a pronominal suffix av. The construct form on its own would be av with a... You'd like to put a shva there. You can't put a straight shva under an aleph, so it has to be a compound shva, which is what that is. And then in the plural, av has an irregular plural, avot. Avot, it's a masculine noun. It actually has morphologically, the form of the plural is feminine. Ot is a feminine ending. And so that ending stays the same in the construct form. The vowel shortens up a bit, avot. So that's the category A at the bottom of the page. It says singular constructs have a shorter vowel. Plural constructs usually end in A.
Okay. On the plural for father, it ends in the tav?
Yeah, ends in ot. Yeah, the tav. Ot. So ot is the standard feminine plural ending, even though this is a masculine noun. So this is an irregular noun. So we saw that the isha, the plural of isha, woman, is nashim. So it has a masculine ending for its plural form. And for father, its plural ending is feminine form. Oh, so it's like they got switched somewhere along the way. But I guess it's masculine. So actually, bottom of page 76 should have been Hatov, that should be Hatov, Yad Eloheinu Hatov. No, actually, hand is feminine, but has a masculine morphology to it, morphologically. Mm-hmm. So it's an irregular noun.
So it's still Hatov?
It's Hatova. Hatova. The plural form is, even though it's a feminine noun, the plural form morphologically is looks masculine, just like nashim for women. It's a feminine noun, but morphologically has the same morphology as a masculine noun. So it's irregular. Okay, category B, the second way that these things can change. In this group, so we read at the bottom, construct and absolute are the same in the singular. And this generally will be true for masculine nouns. So yom, meaning day, or period of time, yom. Then in the plural, we'll get the expected change, yamim to yamei. Yamim, yamei, there. So im ending shortens up to a. And then there may or may not be a shortening of vowels. Sus, sus means horse. Sus. And then susim goes to susei in the plural. Sefer. Sefer is a scroll, or now we'd use it for a book. Sefarim in the plural, and its construct form sifrei. And then melech. Melech, singular, same in absolute and in construct form. In the plural, melechim and malke. Melechim, malke. Yeah, I did that. Sefer, Sefarim, Sifrei. Okay, so those category where the singular, generally masculine, the singular doesn't change from absolute to construct form.
So the whole group is masculine?
Well, we're now coming on to category C.
I mean B.
B, all of B are masculine, yes. Mm-hmm. So C now, in most feminine nouns, construct singular ends in at, plural ends in ot. And we see that for most of these, the absolute form in the singular ends in a, comets he, and the absolute form in the plural ends in ot. So the plural ending doesn't change. There may be some change in vowels early on in the word. So, for example, baraka. Baraka is a blessing derived from the verb barak, to bless. Baraka, the absolute form, typical feminine singular ending. And in the construct, it's birkat. Birkat. There's been a changing of vowels. You don't necessarily have to learn exactly how those vowels change. What's important for you to know is that typically feminine singular, the construct form will end in at, tav, usually at, though not always. And the plural, it's barakot. Barakot for the absolute form, blessings, and in the construct, it's birakot, birakot. So there, the ending stays the same, ot, and there's been some change in vowels. Again, you don't have to learn how the vowels have changed, just that it's likely that they will change. A mare, so a female horse, is a susa. Susa, so we saw that horse, the male is sus, this is susa. Construct form, susat. Susat, so the usual pattern, you go from a to at in the construct form. In the plural, susot. Susot, both in absolute and construct forms. So usual standard feminine plural ending, ot. Mamlaka is a reign or a kingdom. Mamlaka. Mamlaka. Now, in its construct form, it is mamleket. 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 Now, the ending there has gone from a to a tav, but now we've had a bit more radical changing in vowels, and the ending is et. And there's a group of these. Eventually, you'll recognize some of them. I wouldn't get too worried about them at this stage, just that the a has changed to a tav at the end. That's good enough. In the plural, mamlakot. Mamlakot in the absolute and mamlakot in the construct, a little shortening of the vowels there. And finally, hatot, hataot, sorry, hatot, that the second vowel there is a short O, hatot. So it has an unusual form, feminine singular noun, but it doesn't end in a he. And in the construct, hata'at, hata'at, hata'at. In the plural, hata'ot, hata'ot. And that changes just slightly for the construct form, hata'ot. Okay, so those are the three categories we've covered. Some for the plural constructs. Masculine plural constructs usually end in A. So we change from im to A. Feminine construct, well, so the general pattern, actually, it's easier. Let me refer back to this. So in masculine singular nouns, the construct form either doesn't change at all, or there'll be just a changing of vowels, no changing of consonants. Masculine plural, the absolute form usually ends in im. Construct form ends in a. So plural form ends in im, hirik, yod, mem. That's the absolute form. Construct form ends in sira, yod. And there'll often be some changing of vowels. Feminine singular, absolute ends in a, kamets he, usually. And then for construct form, that will change to a tav at the end. And then the feminine plural, absolute, usually ends in ot. So holam vav tav, that ending will stay the same for the construct form, and then there may be some shortening up of vowels. Okay? And if you just learn that, that's good enough. That will enable you to recognize constructs when you see them. You won't be able then to write down a construct form, but the goal of this isn't that you then be writing Hebrew. The goal is that you be reading Hebrew, and so you'll be able to recognize what has gone on.
There's a vav near the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is really where the holam, which is the dot to the upper left of the tet, you can sort of think of that as going with the vav, and the aleph in the middle is, because it's quiescent, an aleph in the middle of a word.
It doesn't like that word.
Well, yeah, so an aleph is sort of like a zero width letter. Because it,
did you say that was hatavot?
No, it's hatot is really hatot. Hatot.
So the V is not pronounced at all?
No, the V is not pronounced at all. The V is, the vav is essentially going with the holam.
To make the long O.
Yeah, to make a long O.
Because you mentioned that vav can be a consonant or a vowel.
Right. So here it's functioning as a vowel together with the holam. Okay. Note, top of page 78. A construct may be joined to the absolute noun by a hyphen. That's the raised hyphen that we saw for Anshei Kodesh, the top of the page 77. We call this a makef, this raised hyphen. It is entirely optional. And it may be there, it may not be there. For example, in 1 Kings 13, the man of God occurs as both Ish HaElohim. It's Isha Elohim, and it occurs both with and without the makef. The difference is, and we really can't discern that here, but in the printed Hebrew Bible, every word also has an accent mark on it that's then used also for cantillation, for how it would be chanted in the synagogue. And when you have the makef, the whole thing, Isha Elohim, is all functioning as one word, so there'd just be a single accent mark on it. And so when it is sung, chanted in the synagogue, it would be sung as one word, and it would be read as one word. Whereas Ish HaElohim, there would be an accent mark on each of them. They'd be considered as two separate words. But that's beyond you.
When chanting, you actually hear a difference.
If you had a trained ear, and as the cantor, the one who does the chanting, then you'd be expected to say them differently. Mm-hmm. Then point two, we've noted the definite article cannot be joined to a construct, a noun and construct form. It must be joined to the absolute noun. So we have Ish Elohim, a man of God. If you want to say the man of God, even although it's the man we're wanting to make definite, because there Ish is in construct form, even though it morphologically has the same form as an absolute form, we have to join it onto the absolute noun, which is the Elohim.
So, Bernard, how would you say a man of the
Well, you wouldn't really say it because, well, in this case, because there is only one God. But if you wanted to say a man of the king, you'd say Ish Lamelech. So you'd use Lamed for belonging to, and it would be La. So where the ah, the patak under it, is the definite article. Ish Lamelech, a man belonging to the king or pertaining to the king.
You use only when now you change it from absolute to construct. Do you do that for adjectives?
No. Adjectives don't have construct forms. This is only for nouns. Only nouns that have it. An adjective will never be used as a noun. We may translate it as a noun, or more often what we have is a noun where we would translate it as an adjective. But an adjective will always have to agree in person and gender and number with the noun that it is modifying. And okay. Now, section 3, we have examples of these construct words. So, column Aleph. You have another question?
I have a question in lesson 6. I'll ask later. Yes.
Okay. Ben-Ha'ish. Ben-Ha'ish, the son of the man. So, in that case, it does use a makef, that raised hyphen. And we want to make the ben definite. So we add the article to the absolute noun in that construct chain, which is the ish. Ben Adam, son of man, again using a makef, and it's not definite. There. Am Haaretz, the people of the land, again using a makef, and we're wanting to make the am, the people definite, so we add the article to Eretz. Susei Hamelech, the horses of the king, so the king's horses, so it's the, even though the article is on the Melech, it's the Susei that are definite, the horses. Susot Hamalakim, the susot, so this is now mares, it's female horses, plural, of the kings. And the article there makes the mares definite. Hamilakim.
We would assume that horses that cannot identify as mares would be males.
Yeah. Susat Hamalka, that's the mare of the queen, so a single female horse. Susa is a mare, here construct form Susat. Susat Hamalka. Kokvei Hashamayim, the stars of heaven. Kokavim would be the absolute form in plural of that, changes to kokovei. Add the article onto the absolute noun in the chain. Sefer Malkei Yehuda v'Yisrael. Sefer Malkei Yehuda v'Yisrael. The book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So now we get two construct nouns in sequence. Sefer is construct, and then Malkei, construct, the absolute would be Malkim. So the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Kol Yemei Malkei Yisrael. Again, two nouns in construct form in sequence. Yamei, absolute form in the plural would be Yamim, and then Malakei, its absolute form Malakim. So all the days of the kings of Israel. And finally, Yad Adonai, the hand of the Lord with a makef. And finally, Enei Chacham, the eyes of a wise man. So actually, in that case, we do have an adjective functioning as a substantive there. We carry on over the page in the left-hand column. Yedei hazakenim, the hands of the old men. Yedei, construct form, zakenim, with the article over it. Sefer Divrei Hanaviyah Hazeh. So Sefer is construct form, the book of. Divrei, also in construct form, the words of. And finally we get our absolute noun, Naviyah. That Navi is a prophet, Naviyah is a female prophet. And we were wanting to make the Sefer definite, so we add the article to the absolute noun, which is the Naviyah. So Sefer Divrei HaNaviyah would be the book of the words of the prophetess. And then we add Hazeh, which is a demonstrative pronoun, this. And we have to add on the article to that because we have an article on the construct chain. So it behaves, the ze behaves a bit like an adjective. It's a demonstrative pronoun. And so the whole chain would mean this book of the words of the prophetess. And then finally, Devar Ha'isha Hazot, the word of this woman. So Devar Ha'isha, the word of the woman. And then here we use zot, also a demonstrative pronoun. The previous example, the demonstrative pronoun was ze, because it goes with sefer. Sefer is the thing it's pointing to. Sefer is a masculine noun, so we use the masculine singular demonstrative. In the second case, zot, it's the woman that we're pointing to. It's this woman. And so she's the one that is, so we use a feminine singular demonstrative, the word of this woman. Okay, column two. Now we get this used in a bit of a narrative sequence, putting together a little bit of a story here. Vayihi b'mei David ha-melech. Let me stop there. So Vayihi b'mei David ha-melech. Vayihi b'mei David ha-melech. So in the days, so the Vayihi, and it happened that, it came about that, and it was that. B'mei David HaMelech, in the days of David the king. Vayihi Devar Adonai El Natan Lemor. Vayihi Devar Adonai El Natan Lemor. And the word of the Lord was to Nathan the prophet. So usually when we talk of the word, we translate into English as the word of the Lord came to Nathan. And in Hebrew that always just uses haya, it was or it is. The word of the Lord was to Nathan. So the idea it was present to Nathan. Lemor opens our quotation marks. Lake v'amarta el avdi el David. Lake v'amarta el avdi el David. So lake, go. That's the imperative of halak. V'amarta and say. So second masculine singular. El avdi, to my servant. Now avdi is a construct with a suffix on the end, a pronoun suffix. The e suffix is my, so my servant. El David, so more specifically to David. Ko amar Adonai, thus says the Lord. Natati laka et berit shalomi. Natati laka et berit shalomi. I have given laka to you. Et marks a direct object. My berit, covenant of shalomi. So shalom, peace, and here in construct form, shalomi, my peace. Vayhi bayom hahu, vayhi bayom hahu, and it happened that, and it was that on that day. Vayivarek David, then the David blessed, et Adonai lemor. So he blessed the Lord, open quotation marks. Baruch Adonai, blessed be the Lord. Asher Natan et Berito L'Amo Yisrael. Asher Natan et Berito L'Amo Yisrael. Who has given, that's Natan, et Berito, his covenant, so Berit, with which will there be construct with a pronominal suffix, the covenant of him. La'amo, amo, plus a pronominal suffix, pronoun suffix, the people of him, that is Israel. Okay, so we began to see there towards the end of these readings where you add a suffix, a pronoun suffix, onto the end of a word in construct form, and the pronoun suffixes can serve several purposes, which we now encounter in section 4. So we've already learnt and seen back in previous lessons where we add suffixes to a preposition. So for example, the preposition le, meaning to, or belonging to, or pertaining to. So we have li, lacha, lach, lo, la. Those are the singular suffixes. Li, to me, lacha, to you, lach, to you, feminine, singular, lo, to him, la, to her. So, for example, this morning I greeted you with shalom lachem, and you replied shalom lacha. Lavaka there to you, masculine singular. So we can add those same suffixes onto the end of a noun, and that has various effects on the meaning, and it serves various purposes. So, for example, davar, we have davar, word. That's the absolute form. We've seen that its construct form is devar, where there's a shortening of the vowel, and in plural, no, so then, if I want to then add a pronoun suffix onto the end, I add that onto the construct form, not the absolute form, the construct form. So devari, my word, which really you can think of it as the word of me, so the devar there is in construct form with the suffix Okay? And you could add any of the suffixes on. So, devari, my word, devarcha, devarcha, your word, devarech, your word, feminine singular, devaro, his word, and devara, her word. And note the dot there in that final he to indicate that he is functioning as a consonant, not as a vowel. Then we can do the same with im. Im, this is a preposition. It's not an inseparable preposition. Lamed is, l is one of the inseparable prepositions. It doesn't occur on its own. It always has something added. It's always added onto the front of a noun or a pronoun. Im can stand on its own, or you can, but you can also add these prepositions to the end of them. And when you add a preposition on the end, the mem doubles, so it's a dagesh forte in the middle, in that mem. So im, with, we have imi, imcha, imach, imo, ima. And we can do the same with a feminine noun, and we add these on to a construct form. So zedaka is righteousness, zedakat, zedkat is its construct form, and then we add the pronominal suffixes onto that construct form. Zidkati, zidkati, my righteousness. Zidkatka, zidkatka, zidkatek, zidkato, and zidkata. Zidkata, her righteousness. Okay, so see how those are working. And you can pretty much do that with any noun. Add on these pronoun suffixes. And the suffix can then act, indicate possession. Well, it acts in just the same ways as we ran through the points A, B, and C, bottom of page 76, top of page 77, to express relationship or belonging, to describe the nature of something. Okay. So, section 5, now we get to see these in action. And the verbs we have here are three imperatives we're given. Shema, shema here, the imperative. Shmor, shmor, keep or regard or protect. And reduf, reduf, follow, pursue, chase. So all three of those are imperatives. So column Aleph, shema devari. Shma devari, hear my word. Shma devaro, hear his word. Shmor berito, keep his covenant. Shmor mitzvata, keep her command. Redof et hazidaka, redof et hazidaka. So redof, pursue, chase, follow, after righteousness. Zed devarcha, ze devarcha, this is your word. Zot zidkatka, zot zidkatka, this is your righteousness. Tova zidkatka Elohim, tova zidkatka Elohim. Zidkatka, your righteousness is tova, is good. Zidka is feminine, so we have to put the adjective feminine singular. Ba'adonai zidkati, ba'adonai zidkati, in the Lord is my righteousness. Halo devari b'sefer hanavi. Halo devari b'sefer hanavi. So halo is a question marker. That's the ha on the front. With lo is not. So halo is not. Devari, my word. B in sefer hanavi, the book of the prophet. So it's the book because we have the article on Navi. Okay. Okay. Imi Eloheinu velo imo. Imi Eloheinu velo imo. Imi with me, and imo with him, and the Eloheinu is Elohe, the construct of Elohim, with Enu, first plural ending. Eloheinu. And then column 8, assembling this into a longer bit of a narrative. We have Vayomer Hechakam El David. Vayomer Hechakam El David. Hechakam, the wise man. Hechakam, so Hakam, wise, and the article here, the vowel under the article is not a patah, but a segol, because it's in front of a guttural letter, ha, a chet. So the wise man said to David, Shema Devar Eloheinu, Shema Devar Eloheinu, hear or listen to the word of our God, Uradof Zidkato, Uradof Zidkato, and pursue his righteousness. So the vav there, the vowel with that is not a shava, but an u, because it's followed by a consonant with it's followed by a shava. Pursue his righteousness. Ki yivarek Adonai, ki yivarek Adonai, for the Lord will bless, or simply, or blesses, as a so ongoing thing, kol ish asher yishma devaro, kol ish asher yishma devaro, kol ish, every man, asher, relative pronoun, who hears his word, v'gam yivarek kol isha asher tishmor mitzvato. V'gam yivarek kol isha asher tishmor mitzvato. Mitzvato. And also, gam, also, yivarek, he will bless, or he blesses, kol isha, every woman, asher, relative pronoun, who tishmor mitzvato, keeps his commandment. Ki ba'adonai zidkata. Ki ba'adonai zidkata. For in the Lord, her righteousness, and we then have to supply the verb to be. V'lev isha batach ba. V'lev isha batach ba. And the heart of her husband trusts in her. Okay, so you see how those singular pronoun suffixes are working when they're added on to the end of a noun. John.
So in the very last word there, the A has a dagesh in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
functioning as a consonant, not as a, not as, so we've seen that many feminine nouns, actually what's clearest is if we look just above it, isha.
Okay.
Now, many feminine nouns end with a comet's hey, but in those instances, the hey is really functioning as a vowel together with the comets. So if you just had isha, you might think, you might mistake that for just isha, meaning woman. Rather than ish, well, her woman. So it forces you.
Can you hear a difference?
No, you can't hear a difference. You can't hear a difference at all. This is something that the scribes, the Masoretic scribes, added in when they were putting in the vowel dots to avoid confusion. Well, we're talking about both isha and ba. So the last two lines, the last word of each of those last two lines, the dot that's in the hey, the final hey.
Okay.
And it's only put in a final hey, and it's just to informs us that we, in cases of confusion, that with the dot in, we take the hey as a consonant rather than just as part of the vowel. Okay, section six, we move on now and cover the plural pronominal suffixes. So we've already seen lanu, lachem, lachen, lahem, lahen are the plural. So lanu, to us, lachem and lachen, to you, masculine and feminine, and lahem, lahen, to them, masculine and feminine. And adding these on to singular words, we have devarenu, devarenu, our word, devarachem, devarachem, your word, devarachen, devarachen, feminine, plural, and devaran, devaram, and devaran, devaran, their word, masculine and feminine. And those feminine forms be very rare in the Bible. With im, it's imanu, imanu, with us. So that's how we get Immanuel, Emmanuel, Immanuel, with God with us. Imachem, Imachem, Imachen, Imam, and Iman. Adding it on to a feminine singular noun, zidkatenu, zidkatenu, zidkatchem, zidkatchem, zidkatchen, katchem, zidkatam, and zidkatan, zidkatan. And then note here, similar to imi is iti, with me, itka, with you, itam, and so on. Note also et, with, for example, et echav, with his brothers. Now et can have two different purposes. It can mark the direct object, or it can mean with. And sometimes it's difficult to tell how we're to translate it in a few places in the Bible. Both im and et, with, are normally used with the meaning with a person and not with a thing. If you're wanting to talk about with a thing, you use lamed l, lamed of possession. There is a thing to him, or a thing to me, something like that. Okay, some more. Section 7, top of page 81. We see how this works with participles. So we aren't yet learning the form of participles, but here, so shomer, shomer, which can be spelled with or without the vav. So with the vav, that vav is functioning as a vowel, holom vav, or just with the holom. Shom means keeping or guarding. So we've already seen shamar as the verb, to keep or to guard. Shomer is the participle of that. Keep and keeping, we usually think of a participle as being an ing word, so keeping, guarding. And usually in Hebrew, the shomer, a participle, refers not to the action of the keeping, but to the one who is doing the action of the keeping. So shomer would usually refer to one who is keeping, i.e. a keeper, a guarder. Shomeach, shomeach, hearing, from shema, and that final vowel. So it's unusual to have a vowel under the last letter, and this can happen when you have a patach under a final ayin or a final chet, and it's the only instance where the vowel gets pronounced before the letter under which it occurs. And also, the vowel is not fully lined. It's not centered under that vowel. It's slightly to the right, as a little. It's a little help to show you that you actually pronounce it before the consonant. Shomea. Shomea. So you pronounce the patach before the ayin. And it can occur under a chet, and in that case, the vowel is under the pata, is under the right-hand leg of the chet.
But those two consonants don't pronounce anyway, right?
Well, an ayin, they're both gutturals. Where you find this, there is a common word where this occurs, and that's the word ruach, meaning spirit. So ruach. And the pata is put under the right-hand column of the chet. It's not aligned under it. And we call this a furtive patach. So it's lurking there furtively. And this causes havoc with attempts to make Hebrew fully Unicode. It still hasn't been resolved, even in Unicode 5. Still is a problem. So, shomeach, hearing, or really the one who is doing the hearing. Holek, going, participle of halak, and yoshev, dwelling or sitting, in that case with a vav there, and sometimes that could be without a vav. So, ha'ish shomer, the man is or was keeping, or we might even say the man is a keeper, and there's no time implied in that. The man is one who is keeping, and you'd have to use context to talk, was he referring to something in the past, or the present, or the future, or what have you. There we've got the article on the ish, so making the man definite. Ha'ish ha'shomer. Ha'ish ha-shomer, now put the article on both, and the shomer there really is, you can almost think of acting as an adjective, it's the man is, it's making both definite, the man is the keeper. Or you can simply have shomer or ha-shomer there referring to the keeper, the guardian, which is generally how the participle will refer to the one who is doing the action. So, and then you can add a suffix onto the end of a participle. So, shomrecha, your keeper, i.e. the one who protects you. So this is used of the Lord in the Psalms, that he is the keeper of us, or the keeper of Israel, and so on. So there, shomer, the participle functioning as the one who is doing that action. Okay, I want to jump over to section 8. The standard form we still haven't really learned the full verb system, but the plain vanilla participle, masculine singular participle, will be o-e. So, holom sere is the vowel pattern. Shomer. So, if you... so one way we sometimes put this is C-O-C. So where C is consonant, O-E is the vowel pattern. But the delights of the verb system, the full verb system still await you. Okay, section 8, where we're running down on time here. What happens when we've seen where we put these singular and plural suffixes onto a singular verb. Now we'll look at what happens when we put them onto a plural noun. Sorry. We saw what happens when you put them on a singular noun. Now what happens when we put them on a plural noun. So we've seen the endings are I, ka, k, o, a, enu, chem, ken, am, an. So we have devari, devarenu, for example. Now when we add them onto the plural, so words of, we take the plural construct, which is devrei, and add them onto that. So we have devarai, devarai, my words. So the singular, my word, is devari, my words, devarai. Words of us, devrenu, devrenu. So the the ending there, the suffix is the same for the singular, my words. The suffix has changed from e to I, and that's because we're adding it on to a devrei. So now we get in section 9 what all these endings are on a plural word. Devarai, devarai, my words. So devarim, words, devrei, the words of, that's a construct form. Devarai, my words, devarecha, devarecha, your words. Now what will help you discern that this is your words plural is that there's a yod there. Now, the one you have to watch out for is my words, because even if it was my word, there would be a yod, devari. And there, we've got a change of vowel from devari to devarai. That's a tricky one. But for all these others, there's a yod there with a devrei that will tell you this is referring to plural words. So, devarecha, devaraik, devaraik. Devarayik, devarav, devarav, his words. That one's a little difficult to pronounce. People vary in their pronunciations of that. Devarav, some will pronounce it devarav, devarav. Devareya, devareya, her words. Devarenu, our words. Devarechem, devarechem, your words. Devareken, devarechen, devarehem, and devarehen, 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 their words. So that's what they look like added on to devarim. Then we can have ahar, ahar, a preposition meaning behind, ahar, and in construct form it's ahare, ahare. So now we can add the pronominal suffixes onto achare. And we get achareka. Oh, actually, I should start acharai. Acharai after me. Achareka. Acharaik. That's both after you. Acharav. Acharav. Achareha. Achareha after her. Acharenu. Acharenu, acharekem, and achareken, achareken, after you, plural, acharehem, acharehen, acharehem, acharehen, after them. And we can add them on to feminine plural nouns. So, berakot is blessings, birkot is the construct of that. And we have birkotai, birkotai, my blessings. And there what helps you know this is referring to blessings plural is we've got the ot there as the ending of the noun. Birkoteka, birkoteka, birkotaik, birkotaik, your blessings, feminine, singular. Birkotav, birkotav, his blessings. Birkotea. Birkotea, her blessings. Birkotenu, tenu, birkotekem, and birkoteken, tekem, and birkotehem, birkotehen. And so we see these in examples top of page 83. The aroti et birkotechem. The aroti et birkotechem. Aroti from the verb arar, to curse. I will curse. And then birkotechem, your blessings. And he notes there that an unusual, that's not what he's referring, the eight markers. Exodus 14:9, Vayirdafu Mitzrayim Acharehem. Vayirdafu Mitzrayim Acharehem. Mitzrayim is the subject of the verb, so it's Egypt, here really meaning the Egypt as the people. Yirdafun, we saw radaf, to pursue. They pursued acharehem, after them. Or we would, in English, we can leave out the after. They simply pursued them. Proverbs 1:23, odia devarai etchem. Odia devarai etchem. Odia, from yada, to know. So you won't be able to understand the particular form that takes, but it means, I will cause you to know, devarai, my words, and then the etchem is the object of causing to know. Et marks that object. And Nehemiah 9:34, v'et melakenu lo asu toratecha v'lo hikshivu el mitzvotecha. V'et melakenu lo asu toratecha v'lo hikshivu el mitzvotecha. Okay, and here's what his note is applying to, the unusual use of et to mark a subject. So et melakenu is the subject of the verb, our kings. So melakenu, construct there with a suffix ending, pronominal suffix. Our kings did not do, lo asu, toratecha, your Torah, that is your teaching, your instruction, your law, velo, and they did not, hikshivu, that's to pay attention to your mitzvotecha, your mitzvot, your commandments.
But where is the et?
It's on the front of melakenu, v'et melakenu, that Nehemiah 9:34.
Okay.
So, and I can't explain, they notes it's unusual, I don't know why it's there, can't explain that. Section 10, we've seen these before, but we're reminded of these, the demonstrative pronouns. So who and he, so remember who is he and he is she, and they both can mean that. And you'd use the appropriate one for the gender of the noun you're referring to. So it's these are the far demonstratives. So zet and zot are the near demonstratives. This is that. That just pointing over there. And in the plural, hema and hena. Hema, hena, those, or you can use them as they to refer to people, masculine or feminine. So the far demonstratives in the plural. And then ele. Ele is the plural for the near demonstrative. These. Okay, so you understand the difference between the near and the far demonstrative. This and that. These and those. This and these are the near demonstratives. That and those are the far demonstratives. And whether you have the hey on for the article, yeah. And that depends upon the noun, right. Which is what then the examples would run through. But we don't have time to read through those. So I'll let you work through those, the readings of section 10. And perhaps also you can read through, section 10. And we don't have time to read through that Jeremiah reading. Well, I think probably at this point we are going to fail to keep to a lesson a week. So we do need to go through, we certainly need to go through the imperatives of page 86. So I'm going to suggest we should pick up, we'll pick up next week with the reading of section 11.
Jeremiah
11. And cover the imperatives. And then we'll move on into lesson 8. Okay. So hopefully during the week you're going back over this and reviewing it and just refreshing it and then just trying to get reading practice. And that's where this really sinks in as you read. And you just get more familiar with seeing these things.
Is there a good website to listen to Hebrew?
There is. We are getting very, very close to the point where, so far we haven't been listening to the straight biblical text. It's been modified, it's been simplified. Here we are just beginning to get onto that. Mm-hmm. And starting very shortly, we will be reading full biblical text, and then it makes sense to start listening to what it is. And so there are sites for that. But